Hallelujah. That's awesome. Anybody want to get saved right now? Hallelujah. Amen. Just go ahead and receive it. Amen. Anybody want to get healed right now? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We receive that. Her kidney function is going up and not down. Amen. Hallelujah. We receive that this morning. Amen. I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Any other praise reports in here this morning? Hallelujah. I am. Sister Patsy said her back got healed. Told us Wednesday night her back got healed Sunday from her sciatic nerve. Amen. Got a healing for that. Hallelujah. Any other praise reports? Hallelujah. Whatever it is you need, he says, I am. Amen. Before Abraham, before Abraham, I am. Hallelujah. Before there was a promise, I am. Before the foundation of the world, I am. Hallelujah. Everything that we need in God, in Christ, we have through him. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. He is the I am that I am. Hallelujah. Peter said, or Jesus said unto Peter, Peter, whom do men say that I am? If I went around the room this morning and handed you the microphone and I said to you, who do you say that he is today? Who is he to you? I mean, probably all of us may have some similar responses, but how many know we would probably have different responses according to where we are right now, right here, right now? Amen? For you this morning, he might be your healer. That might be what you're reaching out and receiving this morning. He is my healer. For some of you, it might be my Savior because I want to know him in a more personal and greater relationship. Maybe you've never experienced Jesus as your personal Savior. To some of you, you might say he's my friend. Hallelujah. He's my comfort. He's my God. He's my power. He's my source. He is my all in all. He is my everything. Can you raise your hand this morning and say, he is my everything? Hallelujah. He is my everything. Powerful. Hallelujah. I am. I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to, I asked the girls to do that song because I'm doing a series on the I Ams of Jesus, the seven I Ams, where Jesus says, I am. When Jesus says, I am, we need to pay attention to what he says that I am. Amen? And in that line, I'm going to veer off of that just a little bit this morning, but it's still all in the same vein. We talked before about when Jesus talked about that I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus said to the multitude, I am the bread of life. But he did not say that until he had demonstrated the power of the miraculous of taking the five loaves and two fishes and feeding the multitude. See, what I love about Jesus, how many know they called him teacher? They called him rabbi. They called him master. They called him a lot of different things. But how many know the greatest teachers teach by example? Amen? Hallelujah. And so when he wanted to emphasize a point, he would teach them something. He would give them a visible, teachable moment. How many know in a classroom you find out as a teacher there are a lot of teachable moments? Amen. Where something pops up or somebody has an interest and you build on that and you go with that. But one of the greatest things I ever learned in understanding, in teaching and things like that is I had a teacher say to me one time, if you want it, teach it. If you want it, model it. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, so many times we can say things and we expect people to understand what we want or understand what we want them to do. But how many of the greatest of teachers will show you what they want? If they want something, they'll teach you how to do it and how they want it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll send our kids off. Maybe you've never done this, but you send your kids off and say, well, go and mow the lawn. How many know first you've got to at least show them where the lawnmower is? And then you better show them how to put the gas and the oil in the lawnmower before you give it to them. And then you're probably going to need to teach them how to start it. Now, if it's a push behind, you're probably going to have to show them how to grab the handle and get behind the lawnmower. Hallelujah. And then you probably need to keep it in a straight line the best that you can. Amen. Hallelujah. And so how many know it's one thing to say to somebody, go and do, but it's another thing to teach them what to do and how to do it. Amen. Before Jesus ever spoke and said, I am the bread of life, what he did was begin to speak to the multitude, and the multitude stood before them, and there were 5,000 before him, not including women and children. And Jesus looked in at the face of his disciples, in the face of that multitude, and he said, these people are hungry. Go feed them. And the disciples looked at each other and said, what's he talking about? Lord, there are way too many people here. 200 penny worth of food. If we were to take the change from our pocket, if we were to pull our finances, we don't have the money to go buy bread to feed this multitude. But you say, go feed them. Hallelujah. How many is God ever ask anybody in here to do anything outside the limitations of what you thought was possible? I say, did any God ever ask anybody to do anything in this room outside the limitations of what you thought was possible? Come on. Hallelujah. And you say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish this. Lord, I don't know how to get from here to there. I know what you're telling me to do, but I don't know how to do it. And they said, we don't know. We don't have the means. We don't know how to feed the multitude, Master, Rabbi, Teacher. I don't know how to feed the multitude. The only thing I do know, there is a little boy here and he has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but I still don't know what that's going to be among so many. Jesus said that here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the people to sit down on the grass. I want you to cause them to be in a posture of rest, and I'm going to help you boys feed the multitude. See, what I love about Jesus, it's not about Jesus just doing the miraculous all the time in our life, but sometimes he just says, you know what, I need you to feed the multitude, and if you'll just watch me, son, I'm going to teach you how to take 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everybody in this multitude be fed. And it's not just about me being seen today, I'm going to help you feed the multitude. And when he began to take that bread and he began to bless that bread and he began to break that bread and he began to multiply that bread and put that bread in the basket, he said, here, take a basket and go. Take a basket and go. Take a basket. Go, 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 go. Feed the multitude. Keep going until everybody in this room, everybody in this multitude is fed. And then come see me. Hallelujah. And what I love about the miracles when he gets done, he said, how are we doing? They said, and they all did eat and were filled. Everybody say filled. Yeah. They didn't get a snack. They didn't get a cracker on the way out the door. How many know the scripture said, and they all did eat and were filled. And guess what? There were leftovers. 12 basketfuls, 12 fragments of leftovers left over for you to take back home to your family tonight, boys. And when your darling says to you, honey, how was your day? I want you to say to her, I saw a multitude fed today like I never saw before. I didn't have the means. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how God was going to do the miraculous. I didn't know what God was going to do, but today I fed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I got a basket full for our house to bring back home, because the faithfulness of God is, if you'll give out and if you'll cast your bread on the water, it will return to you after many days, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will I pour it into your bosom. Hallelujah. Anybody ready for God to do the miraculous? in your midst today. Hallelujah. I'm tired of settling for second best. I'm tired of waiting and hoping. I'm going to just start stepping out with an empty basket and say, God, if you'll fill it, I'll pass it out. Amen. Hallelujah. So what I know is about this rabbi, this teacher, this master sent from God, if he wanted something, he taught it. He modeled it. He showed them. And then after he fed the multitude began to question him about the manna and Moses and the wilderness. And Jesus says to them, I am the bread. I am the wine. I am resurrection and I am life. I am that bread. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and it was great. It was wonderful. It was miraculous. It was provided. It was manna from heaven on the lawn every morning when we got up. But that was for that day. There's something greater than the law of Moses. There's something better than residing in the wilderness. There's something better than the day you used to know, because now I am that bread, my body, which is about to be broken for you and distributed to the multitude. I am that bread from heaven. So before he would ever tell them something as profound like that, he would give them an object lesson. How many like object lessons? Hallelujah. And so he would teach them and he would model for them what they want. Hallelujah. How many know the greatest of teachers take the time to teach and model for their students what they expect of them? Amen. When I get 23 5-year-olds, that made me stutter a minute. When I get 23 5-year-olds in the classroom at the beginning of the year, they came fresh from mama and daddy and sometimes from pre-K. Thank God for those programs leading into me. Some of them have never been in the classroom before. Some of them don't know you need to raise your hand when you want to talk. Some of them that get clear to march and they still don't know you need to raise your hand when you want to talk. And I'm still working on that. Amen. Hallelujah. They don't know you need to push your chair in when you stand up. They don't know you're not supposed to play in the water fountain when you get there to it. You're just supposed to get a drink and you're supposed to go. Sometimes they don't know the difference between the urinal and the toilet. So you got to teach it. Some of them have never seen it. Some of them have only ever went in the bathroom with mommy. They don't know. And when mommy came out, she washed her hand in that thing that looked different than the toilet. So if I want it, I've got to teach it. Amen? And it doesn't help just to do it that first week of school, because how many know they're going to need to be reminders through the years? Oh, yeah, that's how we do things. But I mean, sometimes now I can stand in front of the class and I don't have to say anything. I can just do this. And as they start to see me, they're like, oh, this is quiet time. I need to stop talking. Or I can just get in line and stand like this and have them get behind me. And I model how I want them to walk and how I want them to respond and how I want them to act. And how many know they need some reminders along the way? Anybody ever needed any reminders in your life how to act around the way? Hallelujah, along the way. And so Jesus was constantly training and teaching his disciples. And he says something very profound. Hallelujah. Go ahead and bring up Philippians 2. I want to talk about servanthood this morning. Hallelujah. Hope you ate your breakfast. We might be a while. No, I'm kidding. No, I might not be. I don't know. I want to talk about servanthood this morning. I mean, we like to talk about ruling and reigning with him. We like to talk about all of the great things. But how many know that Jesus modeled to us what servanthood look like? Amen? Hallelujah. And so being it is the season of what we call Lent and Easter and all of those kind of things, I want to just teach on a couple things this morning about servanthood. In Philippians 2, 3 through 11, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, what mind is he talking about? He's about to tell you. "Let this mind or this way of thinking or this thought process be in you, who was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he" what? "Humbled himself and became obedient even unto death," even the death of the cross. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And you know that I love this, "that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." Now the scripture tells us in Philippians that he humbled himself even to the death of the cross, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but yet humbled himself even to the death of the cross and became a servant. How many know that in his servanthood that he could be exalted high above everything, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Amen? And so Jesus gives us the model, the example of humbling yourself. Hallelujah. Being in submission to the death of the cross, that he might be exalted even through the death of the cross to the right hand of the Father. Do you understand that? That he came in the form of man. He became Emmanuel, God with us, in human flesh, walking, living, eating, breathing among us, to give his life for our remission of sins, for the death of the cross, and to be exalted to the right hand of the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. So he gives us the example of humbling himself. Now go to Matthew. Go ahead and go to Matthew 20, verse 20 through 34 for me. Jesus tells them in Matthew 23, 11, and 12, "Whoever is the greatest shall be your servant." How many know a lot of times we get that backwards? Everybody's looking to make a name for themselves. Everybody wants to be the greatest. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants, not everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but how many know it seems like our goal sometimes is to be recognized, to have our name known, or to, you know, it may be a big platform. It might be that, you know, people know about you. But how many know the scripture teaches us really the opposite of what society teaches? If you want to be the greatest among us, you must first be servant of all. You must understand what it means to serve and understand servanthood. And so in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, "Then came to him," Matthew 20 and 20. "Then came to him the brother of Zebedee, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto him, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called unto them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Next verse. Oh, okay. And the multitudes rebuked him because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you or for you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Jesus is in with his disciples, and the disciples are having a conversation about who is to be the greatest, who gets to sit on the left hand, who gets to sit on the right hand in your kingdom. And when you establish this earthly kingdom that they were expecting, who gets to sit on the left and who gets to sit on the right? And they're having this conversation. He said, let me tell you something, boys. Whoever is to be the greatest must first be a servant among you and must first be servant of all. And so he flips the tables on him. He said, if you really want to be the greatest, then you're going to have to learn how to serve. You're going to have to learn how to be a servant. You're going to have to learn how to humble yourself that you may be exalted of the Father. And if the Father exalts you, you're exalted. Amen. How many of promotion comes from the Lord? If he promotes you, you're promoted. If men promote you, you need to keep your eye out. Well. Amen? Hallelujah, because that can flip and change in a moment. Well. Hallelujah. But he gives them example of servanthood. But at the end of this scripture, I love how this scripture goes, and it seems so out of context. Because as he went on his way, after he has just given them this conversation and this example, he's in a crowd, and two blind men cry out to him and say, Son of David, Master, Teacher, Rabbi, have mercy on us. And he said the crowd tried to calm them and restrain them and put them to the side. And so as they didn't bother the Master as he come walking through. But the scripture says that Jesus stops, and he looks for the blind men in the crowd. Hallelujah. And he heals the two blind men in the crowd. Did you ever just feel like a blind man in a crowd? Anybody in here? I mean, sometimes you're just caught up in things, and it seems as if maybe seems like you're having a hard time finding your way. How many know spiritual blindness is probably just as bad as physical blindness? When you feel like you have lost your way and you don't know where you're going, and sometimes you just feel like a blind man in the crowd, and you just need somebody to stop with a little bit of compassion, a little bit of direction, a little bit of something that can open your eyes to something great. But let me tell you something. Jesus was not looking for an opportunity to promote himself. This was not going to give him any special glory. He's not going to become rich and famous because he stops to minister to two blind men. As a matter of fact, they're trying to keep those blind men quiet so Jesus is not disturbed, so that he can get where he's going to get to. How many know sometimes it's those little things you do just out of compassion that doesn't get your name in lights? Nobody ever knows anything about it, but somebody's life is touched. Somebody's life is changed. Somebody's eyes are open. Somebody's day is made difference because somebody had a servant's heart, said, yeah, I'm on my way to something, but I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to stop by the wayside because somebody has lost their way. Somebody's feeling like a blind man in a crowd today. And if I could just spend a moment to open the eyes of somebody and cause them to find their way, cause them to see Jesus today. Hallelujah. How many know you have the opportunity to open the eyes of the blind and cause them to see Jesus today? Hallelujah. It might not get you a promotion. It might not get you famous. It may not get your name in the paper. Nobody may ever even know you stopped to do it. But I can tell you the greatest of blessings are those that nobody else knows about. Hallelujah. Those teachable, touchable moments where you can just bring light into somebody's life and say, Jesus loves you today. He cares about you. He has compassion for you. He mourns when you mourn. He weeps when you weep. But he doesn't want you to mourn or weep in Zion. He wants to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wants to change your life, your day, and your vision. Hallelujah. How many know there's not always a lot of glory that comes from being a servant? Right. Hallelujah. And you know, our servanthood is not necessarily, I'm not necessarily a servant to people. Understand what I'm saying, but I'm a servant to God, and I'm a friend of God. And because I'm a friend of God, I model what he modeled in servanthood, and I serve people. Hallelujah. How many know there's a difference between serving people or becoming a servant to people? Because sometimes you can become a servant to people and they put demands on you that are not demands that God put on you. Hallelujah. And because of their choices of their crisis, now they're looking to put you in a state of servant or bondage with them. How many know it's one thing to serve and minister to people, and it's another thing to be brought to where they are. Our ministry should always be one of pulling people up from where they are, pulling them out of that place. How many know Jesus didn't have to become blind to help the blind man, but he pulled the blindness out of the blind man to pull him out of that place. Hallelujah. There are many of my days that I spend saying, why is it that your bad choices constitute an emergency on my part? You understand what I'm saying? There's sometimes we do things and get ourselves in situations, and then we put demands on people to bring us out of those. When my purpose and my point is to teach you and bring you to God that can bring you out of those things, that can change those things in your life. I don't want to be under bondage to anything in my life that keeps me bound, that keeps me blind, that keeps me broken. Hallelujah. But I can speak into the midst of a situation and say, Jesus loves you. He has compassion on you. And he can even turn your own choices around and bring glory out of your situation if you'll trust him, if you'll let him, and if you'll yield to him. Hallelujah. Can you hear that this morning? Hallelujah. And so over in the scripture of John chapter 13, go ahead and bring that up, Carlin. John chapter 13. Jesus models one of the greatest examples of servanthood. It's only written in one of the four Gospels. It's written in John's Gospel. It precedes what we know of as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. And Jesus is hanging with the disciples. Hallelujah. In John 13, chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 17, I think. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. What you first have to know in this scripture is Jesus knows his hour is at hand. He's about to be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and to be crucified. He knows that his hour is at hand, but he loves those whom he's with. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, models something for them. The teacher arises to teach them a teachable moment. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now understand, he lays aside his garments and he clothes himself with a towel. Next verse. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now you have to understand that in their custom and in their climate and in their day, when someone would come into your house, it was a custom for the lowest slave or the lowest servant in the house to provide a basin of water and a towel so that that person could be washed and refreshed before they came into your house or while they were in your house. It was a great example of honor. It was a great example of welcoming you into their house, but it was done by the lowest servant in the house. So Jesus, stripping himself of his garment, taking off his clothes, he lays them aside. He picks up the job of the lowest servant in the house, and he girds himself with a towel. He puts on another form of clothing. He girds himself. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And here's the response of the disciples. What is he doing? John, what is he doing? Peter's going to talk in a minute. Peter always talks. Peter never learned to not talk. He was always saying something, and it was always, but he was just, he's going to ask. If anybody wants to know, Peter's going to ask. And so here they are like, what is he doing? He's got the basin. He's got the towel. One of us probably were supposed to do that, and we didn't remember. So why does Jesus have the basin? What is he doing with the towel? So Peter, he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. It's not your place, Lord, to wash my feet. I'm feeling funny and you're feeling funny and this is not the way it's supposed to go. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, Peter. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Another translation said, him that's already taken a bath, he doesn't need to bath again, just his feet that carried the dust of his journey. But is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set aside, set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Jesus is in the room with the disciples. He does something very out of character. See, I love that about Jesus. He's always stepping outside the box. He's always doing things outside of character. He's always doing things outside of tradition. And as they sat there that night, and Jesus knows that his hour has come. And the scripture tells him, and he loves these guys. He loves them to the end. See, that is so powerful and moving to me, because here's what I picture. Jesus takes off his garments. He girds himself with a towel. And he says to those guys, guys, you're about to face one of the hardest nights of your life. I'm about to face one of the hardest nights of my life. I know the effect it's going to have on you guys. You have it in your heart to stick with me. Everything about you wants to hang with me. I know you do. I know you love me. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have it in you. But I'm going to wash your feet right now. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to wash your feet. Because here's what I do know. The towel is mightier than the sword. And tomorrow this time, you're going to feel very broken, very hurt, very disappointed. You're going to go through some of the hardest struggles of your life. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look back to this moment. And I want you to realize that before you even mess up, guys, I've already washed you. I've already anointed your feet. I've already prayed over you. Because I want you to know beyond anything, no matter what happens in these days to come, I love you. I believe in you. I got your back. You're going to walk out of this place. And Peter, before this chapter is over, Peter says, Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. I'll die with you. I got you. I got you covered. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, Peter, I know you do. But before the cock crows, before the morning alarm goes off, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And our King James stops it right at the end of chapter 13. And we go to chapter 14. And we think it's a whole new verse starting over. And we think it's a funeral sermon, but it's not. It's the greatest, most profound message Jesus ever said to Peter. He says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. But he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and in my Father's house. There are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, Peter, that where I am, there you may be also. And that place is a place called the place of the cross. It's called a place called Calvary. That if I go to Calvary, I'm going to make a place for you, Peter. And your problems, your sins, your failures, your denials are not going to keep me from you. You might think, look at yourself and walk. There was a moment in Peter's life when he walked away sorrowful, but there also had to be a moment when he said, no, that man loved me because he humbled himself. He washed my feet. And then when he said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. He said, Lord, then don't you just stop at my feet. You wash my head. You wash my hands. Wash my heart. Wash my legs. Wash everything about me. Because there's if anything I desire, Lord, I want to be a part of you. And I want to be a part of what you're doing. So go ahead, Lord. Just wash me from head to toe. He said, Peter, remember something. What you've seen me do, you go do it to those you come to. You do it, Peter, to those you come to. See, Peter forgot. He had one of those moments. You ever get those moments? Yeah, sometimes those moments get more and more frequent. You forget. Yeah. Yeah, Peter had one of those moments. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when that servant Malchus come to take Jesus, Peter woke up with sleepers in his eyes because he'd been sleeping. And he jumps up and he pulls the sword and he cuts off the ear of the servant. And Jesus says, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know I have the power right now to call the host of heaven right here, right now, Peter? But my moment has come. I told you my hour is at hand. Don't forget what I told you, Peter. And he reaches down in the dirt and he picks up the ear of that servant. And with the very breath that he breathed into man and he became a living soul, he blows the dirt off the ear of the servant and he puts it back on his head. And Peter runs away sorrowful. He's having one of the worst weekends of his life. Amen. He's a blind man in a crowd and he don't know how to respond. He don't know what to do. But there comes a moment. Yeah, where Peter got his memory back. Yeah, it happened on the day of Pentecost when the upper room is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter gets up and begins to preach on the day of Pentecost. And he goes out of that room so filled and empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit that he walks up to the gate beautiful. And there's a man right there. You know, that blind man, he's right by the gate. The guy that's begging alms right there by the gate, beautiful. And Peter remembers something. Wait a minute. I remember he washed my feet. He washed me when I was in denial. He washed me when I was in betrayal. He washed me when I was in fear. And you know what he did? He washed Judas's feet also. Before Judas ever had a moment to walk away or to fail or to fall short, he washed him. He cleansed him so that his washing is way more powerful than my actions or my sins or my thoughts. But I can go back every moment saying, wait a minute, that's not who I am. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been buried with him in baptism. I'm more powerful than I know. He loves me. He believes in me. He's washed me from head to toe. I think I got it in me today. And he says to the man at the gate of beautiful begging alms, he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Hallelujah. I mean, Peter began to model just what he had seen. They call him Peter. We need you down at Cornelius's house. Peter says, yo, Cornelius is a Gentile. I never ate anything common or unclean, and I didn't hang out with Gentiles. Jesus said, Peter, I'm about to change your whole concept of who you think you are. And who you think you were sent to minister to. Because while we as Christians have been backing off from everybody who we thought had leprosy and blindness and were broken, and we thought if we touched them, we were going to be corrupted, Jesus walked right into the midst of the leper colony and said, I'm not embarrassed by your spots. I'm not tore up about your crippled legs. I don't care about your blindness. But when I leave here, I'm going to leave you in better shape than you ever thought you was in. And you're going to leave and walk out of this place different. Because Jesus has been in your midst. Hallelujah. And so Peter goes down to the house of Cornelius, and he just starts telling them everything you know. You all gonna believe this story, but here we go. And he starts telling them everything he's seen, he's experienced, he's witnessed. And all of a sudden, guess what happens when you preach Jesus? The Holy Ghost falls. They get filled. The Gentiles get filled with the Holy Ghost. And now Peter's got to go back to the Jewish council and explain why the Gentiles are speaking in tongues. Peter said, I don't know. All I know is preach Jesus, and the Holy Ghost took over. How many know that is the greatest revelation you will ever come to know or understand? That if you'll just preach Jesus, the Holy Ghost will do what the Holy Ghost does best. And people will be changed, lives will be touched, and difference will be made in our communities, in our homes, in our towns, in our schools, and everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because the power of the Holy Ghost is in our midst. Can I tell you this morning, you're a force to be reckoned with. The point of washing, the lowest servant of the house washed the feet. That meant everybody whose feet they washed were above them. How many know what he was about to do is propel them and elevate them to a position? He said, guys, what I've seen among you, I'm about to go to my Father. But now you're about to turn the world upside down with everything that you've been seen, everything that's been deposited in you and imparted in you. I want you, as you've seen me do, go into all the world. Hallelujah, and preach the gospel. In closing, there was a moment in Jesus' life where he had a need. Did you know Jesus had a need? The scripture says in John 4 that he had a need to go through Samaria. Because there was a woman there he needed to meet with. She didn't know she had a need, but Jesus had a need. And so he goes by a well today, by that day, sends the disciples on to get food. Seems like they were always thinking about food. I get that. He sends them on, and he walks into the town that day, and he sets on the well, Jacob's well, the well of tradition, the well that you always got to come back to and get another bucket full and another bucket full and another bucket full, and every day it's the same old, same old, same old. How many are tired of the same old every day of feeling like you have to get up tomorrow and start all over again? See, we lived in that circle for a while. Like, if we didn't, if just help me. That's probably where that song came from. Just help me make it through the night. Anyway, Jesus is sitting on the well. And there's a woman of Samaria who comes to draw water from the well. And Jesus, being the servant that he is, Joyce, says to her, "Give me a drink." And she says, "Why would you, a man, ask of me, a woman and a Samaritan, to give you a drink? Would you even consider drinking out of my bucket if I did give you a drink?" He says, "Ma'am, if you knew who it was who sat on your well, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you a drink. I would be a servant to you today, ma'am, and I would give you a drink of water that you would never thirst again." And she says, "Wait a minute." She had that same response like the disciples did. "Well, that's not the way we do it here. You would give me a drink? Sir, I'm a woman, and we don't do that in our culture. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. We don't do that in our culture. I'm an adulteress, and you're not. We don't do that in this culture. I've been married 5 times, and right now I'm living with the person that, yeah, no, not in this culture. And despite that, I got up and came to the well this morning. I didn't even put makeup on." That's probably in the Message Bible. That's just my little addition. But how many know Jesus? The scripture says, "I have a need to minister to you today. Because you don't think you deserve my love. You don't think you deserve my drink. You think everything, there's more wrong about you than there is right about you. But," he said, "I want to tell you, I can give you a drink of water today, ma'am, that you'll never thirst again. And as a matter of fact, you're not just going to not thirst, but it's going to be a well springing up. I can put something inside of you that's going to feel a whole lot like an artesian well springing up inside of me. If you'll just ask, go ahead, just ask me. Go ahead and ask me, and I'll give you a drink today. Because I want to serve you." And she said, "Well, sir, you know that I've had 5 husbands, and the one I'm with now is not my husband, and I'm not used to this kind of treatment by men." I mean, she hasn't had a good track record. But Jesus begins to minister to her and says, "I know all about you." And she said, "We got this whole conflict about your disciples say you need to worship on that mountain, and we say you need to worship on that mountain. And how many know until we can ever get our heads together and worship and find out it's not about your mountain or about my mountain or your style or my style or your song or my song, but with he that will worship me in spirit and in truth." When you ever get a value, when you ever get a picture of true worship, you're not going to care whose mountain it's on. But when the voices start to sing and they begin to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is filled with his glory," it doesn't matter how you do it, just do it. Hallelujah. When she figures that out, she goes back to everybody she knows in the village and says, "You got to come see this man who told me all things ever I did. I don't know, but I think I run smack dab into the face of the Messiah today. And my life has changed. And not only is my life changed, but I'm going to change my village. I'm going to change my person. I'm going to change my direction. Because I had an encounter with somebody today who said they wanted to serve me." Hallelujah. Who didn't care about getting down and humbling themselves to serve me. But his point wasn't to get any fame and glory, because guess what he did? He sent everybody away. He said, "I want to elevate you today. So I'm going to serve you today because I believe in you and because I love you. I'm going to teach you what it means to be a servant of God and to be elevated to that place." If we ever really learn the purpose and the power of servanthood and what it means to have a servant's heart, amen, not a slave to people's whims or cares that don't desire change, but really to impart the love of God over people's lives so that the blind man in the crowd finds their way, the crippled man starts to feel strength in their legs. And the woman who's bowed over with every care and weight and sin that has so pressed her down is able to stand up for the first time in her life and look up instead of looking down. How many know that's what servanthood is about? Sometimes about casting aside your own agenda. Because there's a moment, a teachable moment in time that can change history, change the course of direction, can change circumstances. Do you still believe God can change circumstances, that He can touch lives, that He can empower people, and that we, as ministers of His grace, if we ever find out, Lord, You have washed me, don't just stop with my feet, wash my hands, wash my head, wash my body, wash my intentions, my heart, my thoughts, everything about me, and propel me. Thrust me forward into the ministry that You're about to call me into. And if I trip a little bit along the way, and if I stumble, and if I use the sword and I cut people's ears off instead of bringing healing, Lord, give me another chance. Give me another chance at the gate beautiful that I can say, man, I didn't do it right that time, but give me another moment to just bring life and hope and healing and power into somebody's life. And you know what? If the Gentile knocks on my door, help me not to be so righteous and so Pharisaical that I can't just say, I don't know all the answers. I don't know how to fix everything. But I can tell you about Jesus. And when I tell you about Jesus, the scripture we read says that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Every tongue confess He is Lord. That at the name of Jesus, and by just preaching the simple message of the gospel and the work of the cross, that it gives open door to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To show up. And all of a sudden, what I couldn't fix in my own strength, the Holy Ghost has the power to do. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Anybody in here have somebody knocking at your door that needs help, and you say, I don't know the answers. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do, but I know that the Holy Ghost can do it. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in here today and you say, God, I need some intervention. I need You to wash me head, hands, feet, everything about me. I know You love me. I know You want to propel me. I know You want to send me out. And I don't know that I got the goods. And Lord, every now and then, my own failures, my own shortcomings come back to my face, and I hear that sound of the rooster, and the rooster's telling on me. But what I thought the rooster was saying, and what I thought the rooster was singing a song of my condemnation, what I didn't know is the rooster was just announcing it's a brand new day. Yesterday was yesterday, and today is a brand new day. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Are you ready for that? Do you want Him to wash your feet in this house this morning? Hallelujah. Are you ready to propel forward? Are you ready to leave behind past condemnation? Maybe you're walking in condemnation today and say, I'm not even worthy for Him to wash my feet. I'm not worthy for Him to open my eyes. I'm not worthy. Hallelujah. I got good news for you today. He has made you worthy. And beyond worthy, He loves you today. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Lift your hands as Jason sings something to us this morning.
God, I Hallelujah. Love you.
Bless you, Jesus. Just take a moment. Love on Him this morning.
Give me vision to see things like You do. God, I look to You.
Hallelujah.
You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision.
Hallelujah.
To see things like You do. you where my help comes from.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give me wisdom. You know just what to do, Lord. I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do, God. I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone in here this morning that you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior? And you'd like that moment encounter. You just want to make that step forward and say, Lord, I receive you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't live without you. Hallelujah. And just step to the front. We'd be glad to pray with you. Hallelujah. If you need to be anointed with oil, if you have a need today, if you want the Holy Ghost, if you want God to do something in your life, hallelujah. We'd be glad to pray with you. Step, if you want to step forward to the front today.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus.
I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will love you, Lord, my strength.
Yes, Lord.
I will love you. I will love you, Lord, my high rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God.
Hallelujah. Sister Amanda, I've had you on my heart for a couple weeks. And when I just feel like a heaviness almost, not just in your physical body, even a tiredness, but sometimes that even manifests in your spiritual body and in just all the areas of your life. It seems like that winds blow from every direction in your life right now. And I just want to speak life to you, and I want to stir up the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, woman of God. You are a powerful, anointed woman of God. Hallelujah. You have water for those who are thirsty. You have healing for those who are blind. And I just declare that God is moving in more areas of your life than you know. Hallelujah. And I stand with you as another woman of God today for issues in your house, for your family, for your children, for those circumstances in jobs, finances, and in every area of your life today. I say to you, there's a fresh wind blowing, and spring has sprung on your behalf. Hallelujah. Start looking for crocuses and daffodils to pop up all around you. Hallelujah. I prophesy fresh wind. I prophesy renewal and strength in your mind, body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I declare this to be a household of faith. Hallelujah. A household of strength. Hallelujah. And a household that's built on a solid foundation. And though the winds might seem to blow, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though the winds might seem to blow, I say that a fresh wind dries up the even the muddy and the murky places, the things that seem to raise up against you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those things that have seemed like they've been difficult, I declare the hand of God moving in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. I'm not sure what all you prayed about last week, but I had seen a heaviness on you also. And I'm declaring the systems of your body come into agreement with the power and the anointing of God. And those things that seem to come to your ears and to your mind and seem to like constantly cause your mind to turn and turn, where you just think, if I could just flip that switch and turn it off and get some peace of mind. But I say to you, woman of God, you are more powerful than you know. And I speak life into your situations, and I declare past things have no voice in your life. And God is making you fresh and new, and causing even a balance to come physically in your body. Hallelujah. That's causing even some emotional things that you're struggling with. Hallelujah. You know the hand of God's touched you. You know He loves you. You know He cares about you. And you know His power and His anointing in you is strong. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A brand new day. A brand new day in Jesus' name. I declare that over your family also, and even your child, your daughter also. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Broken cycles. Hallelujah. Repetitive cycles in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I will love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name.
Forever all my days, I will love you, God. And I will love you, Lord, my strength.
Hallelujah. Father, we speak a newness. Father, in His mind, into His spirit, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we declare the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit rise up inside of Him, God. Cause Him to know, Lord, the power and the anointing You have placed in Him. You have purposed Him, Lord. You have propelled Him. Lord, You have called Him for such a time as this. In Jesus' name. Father, we anoint Him with the oil of gladness. In Jesus' name. The oil of joy. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every area of his life, financially, Lord, emotionally, spiritually, in Jesus' name, we declare a new day. We declare life and power and strength in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. No barriers. Hallelujah. No barriers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we break off everything that would seem to hold him back or hold him down, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We anoint him and propel him forward by your anointing and by your power, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's okay, buddy. We'll come to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Lord, we command the neck to come into alignment with your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, you've opened blind eyes. You've healed the crippled legs, Father. You cause those who are bowed over to stand up straight, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we straighten this man of God, his spine, Lord, his neck, right now, in Jesus' name. We command the bones to come together, the sinews, the joints, the tendons, to the muscles. You must relax, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, you care about what concerns us, Lord. You are moved with compassion, Father. Hallelujah. You are moved with compassion, Lord. In Jesus' name, we declare this man of God whole, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We cause him to look up, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No more bowed over. No more bowed over in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our God reigns.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our God reigns.
Yes, he does. Yes,
hallelujah.
He does.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All my days,
reach out and touch the person beside you and minister them for a moment this morning. Hallelujah. This is a body ministry, a corporate ministry. Hallelujah. There's no big or little Holy Ghost. It's all the same thing. Hallelujah. Minister strength to the person beside you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We minister healing, Lord. We minister power and might, Father, in this house in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord.
All my days.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Hallelujah.
All my days. Hallelujah. All my days. Hallelujah.
Yes, you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Because all my days I will love you.
Yes, Lord.
God.
Hallelujah. We look to you, Lord. Hallelujah. The I am that I am. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you got what you needed, you can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the children a moment to come in. They're going to get them now. So, right. Hallelujah.
Sing out his praise, I will.